for today. Man, we got a guest speaker. Some of y'all know he's our board member, a good man, funny. I like him. I said it because he's one of those people that keeps it real. So he's a good friend to have. So why don't you stand on your feet and give Pastor Celo Lozano a hand. And Mia. God bless you, man.
Bless you.
Got all the time you need.
All the time I need. Hope y'all brought a sack lunch. How's everybody doing this morning? How many of you were here when I spoke last couple times? Okay, you guys are dismissed. I said, I'm going to go ahead and repeat this message that I did before. These last three messages, I'll combine them into one. That way, you're making sure everybody gets it. So if you've already heard this before, you can exit right there. Make sure you leave a tip on the way out. No, I'm joking. I'm Celo Lozano, my wife, Mia. We've been married for a really long time, 30-something years. 32 years. Make sure you got my time and everything right. We have 11 grandkids. We have 4 biological kids, and we adopted 3, so we have 7. House full growing up. When they were growing up, we were growing up. We started off when we were like 15, 12, something like that. No, I'm joking. But, man, just an honor to be here. It's always an honor. Just want you guys to know that pastors take care of us, man. Like, I was telling him last night, we come never expecting. Like, he asked me to come. I'm like, well, you know, I need an honorarium. Or like, no, like just, I've tried to pay for our hotel one time, and I think I offended him. He was like, no, you're not doing that. But just they've always honored and respected us and the ministry. And so I just want to tell you guys that you got some stand-up pastors, man. They're really, really good. I really appreciate them. When I first met Tim, we were at a family church conference with FCF, and I think that whole evening that we were, there was about 6 or 7 of us sitting around in a lobby at a hotel, and I think Tim said 2 words the whole time that we were there, and I had to check like 3 or 4 times to make sure he was breathing and that his actual name was Tim, I've always enjoyed him. And so when I came and spoke several years back, I talked about sin. Remember when I talked about sin? Anybody remember that message? If not, you can go to your YouTube page and find it. Talked about what sin can be and what it looks like sometimes. And then shared a message, a year or two after that. I was talking about seeds. If anybody here on a Wednesday night, I threw seeds everywhere. They were having a vacuum shop back out here to clean everything up. I guess it was last year, I talked about eternal life. Do y'all remember that message about eternal life? And where it talks about in 17:3, John chapter 17, verse 3, where it says that Jesus says that eternal life is to know the Father and the one who sent the Son, right? And so kind of looked at our perspective of what eternal life looks like. And so this morning, I'm going to kind of keep going off of that a little bit from 17:3. But I want to open up the discussion, open up the dialogue, if you will, submit some things to you guys. Along the subject of purpose and obedience. Say purpose. Obedience. Now look at the person next to you and say, this message is for you. I'm just letting you know. Get ready. I'm good, but it's for you. We talked about purpose and obedience. And so the one thing that we don't really like, camera guy, I'm probably going to walk, man. I don't know. I can feel it. Like, it's just letting you know, heads up, man. So if I'm over here and you're over there, I'm sorry. I just kind of feel that in me right now. So when we think about purpose, we think about obedience. One of the things that we never really think about or put 2 and 2 together is growth. Like, you can't grow in the things of God. Let me rephrase that. You can't really find your purpose, and you can't really be obedient to God if you're not growing in your relationship with God, if you're not growing in your life, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, right? And so I say this all the time. Growing is uncomfortable, but grow anyway. Yeah. Growing is unpredictable. Grow anyway. Growing hurts, but grow anyway. Growing is change, but grow anyway. Growing is scary, but grow anyway. Growing is hard, but grow anyway. See, we want to do things for God. We want to see God move in our lives, but we don't want to grow. We want God's purpose fulfilled in us. Like, we know, like, okay, if you've been in church any length of time, if you've been at this church any time, you know that you have a purpose. Yes, no, right? We know that God's will in us and we're to do God's will and that purpose, right? So the thing that we struggle with is that we want to do God's will, we want to do God's purpose, we want to be obedient to God, but we don't want to do it and have to grow. Okay, that started off real good. Let me get my water out here. Babe, start the car. This may not be one of them services, Tim. I'm going to cut it short. I'm going to give you all the 13-minute message here. Right, so when we talk about growing, right? So I'm going to just tell you a real quick story about my growth. First of all, I never wanted to be a senior pastor, ever. I'm a senior pastor. I've been a senior pastor for 7 years now. I never wanted to be a senior pastor. Can I help you? Let me help you. I still don't want to be a senior pastor. Like, I still don't want to pastor a church. And then guess what God did? He says, I want you to start another church. And I was like, Lord, you got me confused with my twin somewhere. Like, I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm not trying to start another church. So we planted another church last year in October. So we're not even full 6 months into this thing. And people are like, man, how are you doing this? I'm like, I don't even want to do this. Hello. Right? I don't want to do this, right? So sometimes God asks us to do some things, and to be obedient, that means that we have to grow. We have to do what's uncomfortable, right? So about 2 years ago, I'm pastoring, and I'm talking to a young man. He's going through some stuff at another church, and I'm having a conversation with him. And you ever have conversations with people as you're talking to them? God's talking to you about something else? Like, he's absolutely nothing to do with them, but you're just listening intently, and God's like, mm-hmm, yeah, see this, da-da-da-da. And he starts connecting all these dots from, like, things that he's talking. Nobody? I'm the only one? Okay, I didn't know if I was, like high problems area in my mind or something, but, you know, like, so I'm talking to this young man, and he's literally sharing his heart with me in some frustration with his pastor, and I hear the Spirit of God tell me, he's like, listen to him because he's complaining about you, and you don't know it. He didn't even come to my church. He says, this is what your people are dealing with. And I'm like, man, that pastor has issues. Hello, right? And I'm going, this pastor needs Jesus. And he's like, you're not listening to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you need to change some things on how you're pastoring and how you're leading. And I'm like, I'm the best guy here. Like, I've been doing this for a whole minute. Like, I'm got my swing. I've got my swing. I'm doing my thing. Everything's working. And God's like, no, like, I need you to make some adjustments. First of all, in your attitude. Second of all, in your actions and your follow through. I need you to be obedient in some things. I'm like, hold on. Wait a minute. And this is what the Lord asked me to do. Very, very, you don't know how you don't know that you have pride until God starts showing that you have pride. Right? So the Spirit of God was like, what I want you to do is I want you to start giving opportunity for people that have the gift of teaching in your body to start teaching. And I was like, whoa, 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 hold on. You asked me to pastor. You asked me to speak the word. You asked me to share with the congregation. Now you're trying to take my role away. And he says, I guess you think that you're the best speaker of the entire building. I was like, well, I'm the most experienced. Anybody get in defense mode? Yeah. So the Spirit of God literally is telling me, like, you need to start training up and giving some people some opportunity to share. And this is what he told me. This is literally, like, I like food, right? So, like, I eat. Like, food's important to me. I just want y'all to know, sin. Pastor Tim caused me to sin last night when we went to eat, so I'm blaming him. I told him, I was like, man, you just corrupted me, man. It was a good sin, though. And so the Spirit of God was telling me, says, I know that you enjoy preaching and teaching. He said, but your congregation is only eating meat. Not because I'm bringing the meat. And he says, yeah, but they need a salad every once in a while. They need a bowl of cereal every once in a while. They need some ice cream every once in a while. They need some fruits and vegetables. And I'm like, well, I bring the sides. And so I started giving God all my reasoning, like, you know, I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this. He said, yeah, but you're the same chef using the same ingredients, preparing the same meal all the time. He says, and your sheep are not getting a balanced meal. And I was like, so this is, I'm sharing this right there. So this young man's having the conversation, and this is what God's showing me. Like we're having a whole conversation. It was about a 15, 20 minute conversation, and God's downloading this all to me. And so when I walked away, I was like, so what am I supposed to do? He says, you know the people that have the gift to teach. Let them start teaching. That's their gift. That's their talent. That's what I've given them. And if you don't let them teach, then your sheep don't eat well. And I was like, man. Well, prior to that, I had a pastor. He was pastoring at one of the churches there locally. He had a falling out. He ended up leaving the church. Him and his wife left the church for about 3 to 4 years. Was not serving. They finally started coming back to church, and they started attending our church. And he has the gift to teach. And I said, hey, you wanna come share a message on Sunday? You know, he's like, oh, really? Yeah. He goes, I haven't preached in like 3 years. I'm like, that's all right. Come on, I want you to preach. And so he shared, and it was really good. And then I asked him to share again, and it got even better. And then I asked him to share it again. And then another pastor came who also had a church, had closed his church down, started attending the church. Spirit of God was like, let him teach too. I'm like, hold on. Time out. It's my congregation. So last year for 2022, they taught, there was three pastors that taught besides myself. Now here's the thing. These guys, everybody calls them pastors, but they don't want to be pastors either. Like they stop calling me pastor. And I'm like, well, you're sorry, you're pastor. Like that's how they see you guys. And I even offered them like, hey, y'all wanna like take over the church or whatever? They're like, no, I don't want a church. I've been there. I just want to teach. I just want to preach. I just want to exercise my gift. And I'm like, man. Amen. So all of 2022, literally all of 2022, we rotated. Do what? 2022. We rotated at the end of 22, going into 23. So 22, about June or July, we started mixing them in a little bit. Couldn't let them have the pulpit all the time, bro. You know, like, got to preach. Can't give you all my time. I'm the man of God, right? By the end of December of 22, going into 23, I was literally preaching about every 5 weeks. And these guys were preaching like every year, like we were doing series. And so these guys were, and you know what? This is when you're talking about growing, right? Everybody liked them. Like the congregations are like, oh, I love it when Pastor Chris preaches. Oh, I love it when Pastor Jeremy's preaching. We love you, but we really like Pastor Jeremy. Oh man, when Pastor Samuel teaches, oh my gosh. And I'm just like, haters, man. And I realized that the more that these guys were preaching and teaching, guess what I realized that I had a problem with? Jealousy. Hello. You want to grow? Do something that God's asking you to do. Be obedient in. Mm-hmm. We don't like that all the time, man. And so this year for 2024, we sat down in December and we wrote out the plan. We wrote out our message series, everything, and we added two more teachers. And I went from going, man, I don't get to preach no more, to going, man, I don't get to preach no more. Because now I get to focus on the project that he sent me on, this other small church. And I did not see that at the beginning. I was like, man, these guys are getting on my pulpit time. He's like, no, you got another one over here you need to work on. I was like, man. See, what we want to do is we want to be led by God. We want to be led by the Spirit of God. We want to follow after Christ, but we don't want to grow in the process. We don't want to have to deal with pride. We don't want to have to deal with hurts. We don't have to deal with being uncomfortable. We don't want to have to deal with being unpredictable, not knowing what's happening. And so because we don't want to deal with that, we really are not growing. We get complacent. Look at the neighbor and say, I hope he's not talking to you. Right? And so my question to you this morning, I got a couple of questions I want to submit to you this morning. You can write these down. These are really good questions, right? So in what area of your life are you fully confident in? What area of life are you fully confident? You know what it means to be confident, right? Like, I can do this. Like, I can do this. I know how to do this. So if you're a mechanic, you're not afraid if a car breaks down. You're like, I got this. But if you don't know how to work on a car, you're like, right? Are you with me? When a new mom has a baby, zero confidence. But by the time she has that 17th kid, she's like, I got this. Right? When the grandbabies come along, they're like, telling the new mom, you amateur, I got this. Right? When you have experience and you have some understanding, you have confidence. So my question to you is, in what area are you fully confident in? In what area of your life are you fully mature in? Where are we fully mature? Where are we fully confident? This is an ugly question. In what area of life do you need to grow in? We don't like those questions. Hello. I'm growing in an area right now. We had a leaders meeting a couple of weeks ago, and they said, I was asking these questions, and so they asked me back. They said, well, Pastor, what area are you growing? I said, I don't need to grow. I'm growing all the time. Don't ask me that question. Let me tell you what happened to me was it 5 months ago, 4 months ago? With a cholesterol thing, what was that?
Oh, yeah.
4 months? When was that?
About 5 months ago.
My doctor tells me, Solo, you got high cholesterol. You need to really watch your diet. You need to cut back on some stuff. You need to adjust. So I'm like, okay, I'll adjust. So, you know, I went to the Google University, and I started realizing, you know, like, you got to get rid of trans fat. You got to get rid of saturated fat. You got to get rid of all these things. Messing this list. I'm like, man, I can't eat. I'm going to starve. And so I'm starting to read this thing. So I made a commitment, right? I need to grow. I need to develop. I need to be mature with my body. I'm thinking about legacy, living a long time, right? You know? And so I'm going through all this, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do any more dairy. Do you know that dairy's in everything? I mean, dairy's in everything. I said, I'm not going to do saturated fats. Right next to dairy is saturated fats. It's like they take the two, mix them together, and make our food. And then there's trans fat, right? Trans fat is a fat that you can't decide if it wants to be fat or not fat. That's a joke. Okay, so I had dairy, trans fat, saturated fat, red meat. I had to get rid of all these things, right? And I'm like, I need to stop doing this. I was like, man, I was good too. I was like, man, because I'm pretty disciplined. Like, I can discipline myself pretty good. Like, I'm confident in that area. Like, I can set my mind. I can do this. I can control my flesh. If I start losing control of my flesh, I start praying to the Holy Ghost, get some help, right? Like, I'm going in. Week 7, I felt like a crack at it, bro. I'm telling you, I was just like, man, I need some milk. I need some cheese on my burger. I need a bowl of cereal that's not almond milk. You know, like I was feeling it. And then no red meat too. And then no saturated fats, no trans fats. Oh, almost slipped into depression. I was having a tough time. I started getting anxiety. She's like, what's wrong with you? My wife's like, what's wrong with you? I was like, everybody's eating macaroni and cheese. I said, what does this have to do with anything? See, sometimes God will get you, he'll send somebody in your life to tell you that you need to make some adjustments. And not for just for yourself, but for the benefit of everybody around you. But it's going to cost you. But you have to be willing to be obedient to what he's asking you to do to fulfill your purpose. You know, remember Jesus, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And I jokingly say this, but there's some truth to it, right? Like Jesus is like, look, Dad, I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, if I got to do this, I'll do your will and not my will, right? Jesus is low key, right? Jesus is like,
Nah. I know what it's going to do and what it's going to benefit, but I'm good. How many times do we do that when God's like, hey, I need you to do this? And we're like, ah, I'm good. Right? And then somebody else. And then this is, you know you're real spiritual when you do this. You're real spiritual when you do this. You're talking to somebody, he's like, yeah, the Lord's been talking to me about that. The Lord's working on me. No, that's not, he's not working on you. He's not talking about you. You're just being disobedient. But the spiritual people are like, well, I'm just trying to get a hold of my flesh. No, you just need to make, we have to make a commitment. Like we have to say, okay, I need to grow in this area, right? Over in Luke chapter 17, verses 22 through 35, right? In this scripture, right, he's talking to his disciples. Let me just read it. It says, then he said to his disciples, this is verse 22. It says, the time is coming where you will long to see the day the Son of Man returns, but you won't see it. People will tell you, look here, the Son of Man, or here he is, but don't go out and follow them. For the lightning flashes and the lights up the sky from the end to the earth, from one end to the other, so that it will be on the day of the Son of Man comes. But first, the Son of Man must suffer terribly and be rejected by this generation. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. In those days, the people enjoyed banquets, parties, and weddings right up to the time of Noah entered the boat, and the flood came and destroyed them all. It says, and the world will be as it was in the day of Lot. People will be in their daily business, drinking and eating and buying and selling, farming and building until the morning Lot left. This is... Then fire, burning sulfur, rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it will be business as usual right up until the day of the Son of Man is revealed. This is where we get caught up in Christianity. This is where we get caught up in church. This is where we get caught up in our relationship with God. We literally, in our Christianity, in our culture of church, in our culture of Christianity, we get caught up in business as usual. And we're not growing. We think we're growing, but we're not. Now I'm going to tip over a cow. So if it's your cow, I'm sorry. I love you, but I'll tip it. I was going to kick it, but I'm just going to knock it over. Our problem in Christianity and church, we've been taught that doing a devotional means that we're devoted to God. And I challenge you to say, just because you do a devotional doesn't mean that you're devoted to God. You're being devoted to God doesn't necessarily equate to doing a devotional. Sometimes we do devotionals to God because we do it out of habit and it becomes business as usual. When's the last time we sat in our living room, on our couch, in our bedroom, we sat down and just got real quiet before God and just said, what area do I need to grow in? Well, what we've done is we've created a culture where we no longer have conversations with God. We just do our checklist of things that we need to do, pray our 15 minutes, go, do our devotional, do our scripture of the day, and there's no relationship in that. And because there's no relationship, we're not really hearing him tell us, look, you need to stop doing this. You need to start doing that. This is going to benefit you financially if you can make this adjustment. This is going to benefit your health if you can make this adjustment. This will benefit you in your walk with me if you can do this. This will help you be a better parent. This will help you be a better father. This will help you be a better sibling. This will help you be a better follower of Christ. This will help you be a better employee. But we don't, because we're so busy doing our devotionals that we don't really listen to him talk to us. So I submit to you this morning that we have to get out of the habit of doing business as usual. Because if we continue to do business as usual, we'll never grow into the very thing that he caused us to be. Right? It says that he knows he's the author of our faith, right? The author and finisher of our what? Faith. Our problem is that we've got stuck in business as usual, that our life looks like Groundhog Day. Or if you're a guy, it looks like the end of tomorrow. If you've never seen those movies, you don't have to watch them, but basically what happened is both movies, the guy is living the same day over and over and over and over and over and over again. And in both situations, they're doing the same thing so much, it's business as usual so much that both of them literally want to kill themselves because they're tired of doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. But at one point, in their everyday routine of business as usual, you know what they discover? I need to take advantage of this. If I have the same day and I'm repeating this day over and over, by the time that Bill Murray finally figures it out, he can play piano. He's learned to sing. Like, he's doing all this carving ice because he's like, well, let me take advantage of this. If I got the same day and it's the same thing and it's over and over again, let me grow and learn from some things. Tom Cruise is in the movie, right? And he's like, wait a minute. I'm just dying. Like, let me go kill this alien. Right? Like, so he, there's that part in the movie, in both movies, there's those scenes where that switch is tripped, and they go, wow, I don't have to live every day the exact same way. Does this make sense? Is this helping you? So my challenge to you is that how long are we going to keep doing church business as usual? How long are we going to live our life of Christianity, business as usual? How long are we going to just continue to do the same yearly Bible plan? How often are we going to just keep doing the same devotional? What's going to have to happen for us to change something in our life that we actually begin to grow in our relationship with God? Because I know, man, I'm serving the Lord, man, for 27 years, ministry 20 years, and you get in the habit of doing some things, and it becomes mundane. Okay, I guess I'm the only one. And so sometimes when it becomes mundane, you just get tired, and you're right. But we have to understand that. Look, we don't want to be caught doing business as usual when the king comes back. Okay, that went over real well. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. I'm not saying you got to go stand on the side of the road and hold up signs. Jesus loves you. Maybe it is. Maybe it's you just adjusting your relationship with your kids. Maybe it's just adjusting your relationship with your grandkids. Maybe it's just adjusting your relationship with your brother or your sister. It don't have to be big. Our problem is that we're looking for miraculous miracles and signs and wonders, and God's just like, look, can you just put the Twinkie down for a minute? That's what happened to me. Doctor's like, listen, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're not going to be around for very long. You're not going to see your grandkids grow up. And I was like, time out. With long life, he satisfies me. He's like, well, yeah, he satisfied you, but it's not going to be long. You got to put the food down. You got to adjust how you're eating, right? Hello? It says, my people perish for lack of what? I got some knowledge. They say your cholesterol's high. Well, you got to speak against it. Well, it don't work. You can speak against it all your way, but if you keep eating poison, you're still getting poison, right? We have to make some adjustments. And I'm telling you, it's not fun. Like, it's not. Like, Now I'm confessing now. I'm saying it because it's safe, because my wife is sitting right there. So I'm saying it because it's safe. Y'all are my safe place right now. So last night, I had the option for salad, and I ate hot wings. Worse than that, I had dairy with my hot wings. Had blue cheese with my hot wings. Do you know how long it's been since I've had blue cheese and hot wings? Oh, my gosh. I thought Jesus was coming back. He's like, no, that's not me. He said, that's Tim giving you some opportunity. No, I'm joking. And I'm not saying you're not. I'm telling you because I'm like, you're going to slip. But the idea is to say, you know what? I need to grow. I need to change how I'm thinking about this. I don't want to get caught doing business as usual, right? And here's the thing. God's not looking for sacrifice. He's looking for obedience. Yeah. Right, it tells us in Hosea, it says in Hosea chapter 6, right? It says, for I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. The what of God? The knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. In other words, he's not looking for us to make adjustments just to make adjustments to satisfy him. He wants us to make adjustments because we're being obedient to what he's asked us to do. I'm not pastoring because I want to. I'm pastoring because he asked me to. Okay, that went over real well. Amen. Right? He doesn't want sacrifice. He wants obedience. Right? We have to understand that Okay, let me clarify some things. He doesn't want sacrifice. God doesn't want or require sacrifice. He requires obedience. Are y'all with me? But sometimes when you're obedient, you sacrifice. Does that make sense? Right. Someone asked me, it's like, man, how are you doing? How are you just cut back? Like, I'm at like 90% no dairy, 90% no red meat, 90% no saturated fat. Like, I can't even enjoy potato chips, bro. Like, it's, pardon my French, it just sucks right now being me. And you know what keeps me going? It's hearing that doctor going, you know, if you really want to have your see your grandkids grow up, you need to make your adjustments. That's not sacrifice. That's being obedient. But because I'm being obedient, now I'm sacrificing. And what I think what we do sometimes is we think if we sacrifice enough, that it will show that we're obedient. And God's saying, no, just be obedient. You don't have to be sacrificial. You don't have to bring burnt offerings. Just be obedient in what I've asked you to do. And in that, if you need to sacrifice some things, well, then that's so be it. But just can you just be obedient? Can you just say, you know what? This is what God's asked me to do. I'm going to do it, even if it costs me a little bit, even if it hurts, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's challenging, right? So I don't know what... this is so good. Go over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 11. Okay, so just real quick, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. But I want to share something with you quick. So like we, and I say we, church leaders, right? We put chapters and verses on everything. Are you follow me? Do you understand that? If you don't understand that, I'm telling you that I'm going to read this, but it doesn't go like chapter 5, oh, chapter 6. It's literally one letter. Are you following me to the Hebrews? And so it just reads continuously flow. So I'm going to read chapter 5, 11 through 14, and then I'm going to go right all the way into 6. Are y'all with me? And it's going to make sense when I finish. Right? So it says, verse 11, it says, we have a lot to explain about this, but since you have become too lazy to pay attention, explaining to you is very hard. But you should be teachers by now. Instead, you still need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word. You need milk and not solid food. All those who live on milk lack the experience to talk about what is right. They are still babies. However, solid food is for mature people whose minds are trained by the practice to know the difference between good and evil. This is verse 1 out of chapter 6. With this in mind, we should stop going over the elementary truths of Christ and move on to topics that are more mature for more mature people. We should stop repeating the basics and turning away from the useless things we did and the basis of our faith in God. We shouldn't repeat the basic teachings about such things as baptisms, setting people apart for holy task, dead people coming back to life or the resurrection of life, and eternal judgment. Because if we continue to do that, it's doing what? Business as usual. We're teaching the same things. We're going over the same things. We're hammering it out. And this is why people sit in services sometimes, falling asleep, getting on their phone, because they've said, I've heard this message 1,000 times, and I've already got this part down. I don't cuss no more, except for on Thursdays. I'm not doing X. I'm not doing Y. I'm not doing Z. Can we get something else fresh? And it's because we're expecting the pastor to spoon feed us what we already know. But really, when you're in a relationship with God and you have your relationship with God and you're growing, it's not up to the pastor to make you grow. It's up to you to make yourself grow. Amen. It's up for you to sit and spend time with God. Well, I spend time with God, but are you listening? Right? So if you go to 2 Corinthians, okay, this is not even my notes. Y'all know y'all in trouble now because this ain't even my notes. 1 Corinthians. Not 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I'm not even going to read it. If 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In here, he's talking about all the gifts. Paul's talking about all the gifts. Some are going to be teachers, some are going to be preachers, some are going to be, they're going to have prophets, they're going to give prophecy, they're going to sing a song. So he's going through all these things, the gifts and talents in the church. And this is where God had to grow me. He says, you got all these gifts and talents in your church, and not anybody using them. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's called to pastor, but some people are called to teach. And what we've done is we've said, well, because you can teach, now you got to be a pastor. And then what we say is that, well, you got to call the pastor, so that means that you have to teach. And because you're the pastor and you're supposed to teach, now you have to be the admin and the yard man, maintenance man, cleaning man. Are you with me? And this is where I was trapped. This is where God was trying to fix me. This is where he's trying to get me to adjust. He's like, this is literally how it came to me. Pastors, just because you're called a pastor doesn't mean you're called to teach. Just because you're called to teach doesn't mean you're called to lead. And if you go through Corinthians right here, he has all the gifts listed. Some are called to lead. Some are called to administration. And then he says at the very end, but not all are called to do the same thing. That was like hard for me to understand because I was taught, right? Like if I'm the pastor, then I got to lead. If I'm the pastor, I have to teach. If I'm the pastor, I got to pastor. If I'm the pastor, I got to handle the finance books. If I'm the pastor, I got to handle the maintenance books. And what I realized when God was asking me to have these guys speak, he says, you don't have to teach all the time because you have teachers that I've sent you. You don't have to worry about doing admin because I will send you people to do the admin. You don't, matter of fact, I don't even have to pastor all the time because I'm going to send you people that will help you pastor. I was like, mind blown. I was like, oh my gosh, revelation. And you know what I've been doing? I was telling Pastor Tim last night, he was asking, we got this church plan. He's like, he says, how you doing? I was like, man, I don't do nothing. Like, I don't do nothing. Nothing. My daughters and my sons and my staff, they're like, this is what they tell me to do. Your job, Pastor Solo, is this. This is what they tell me. Your job is to kiss babies, shake hands, and hug necks. Be the face of Riverside Community Church. Don't touch anything because we're going to hurt you. Because all you do is mess it up. Let the teachers teach. Let the admin be admins. Let the leaders lead.
And let the people serve.
My wife gets on me all the time. Do you have to stack chairs? Is there nobody else qualified to stack chairs? Yeah, they're just not going to stack them as well as me. Right? But this is where we live in our own lives. Like, we think that we're the only one that can do this. And I'm saying, maybe you should be doing more than what you've been doing because you've been doing business as usual. Maybe it needs to look different. So here's my question. What is the last thing that God asked you to do? It's a hard question. Write that down if you're taking notes. What was the last thing that God asked you to do? Question number two, have you done it? Question number three, if you've done it, what's the next thing you're supposed to do? And if you haven't done it, why not? It's amazing how I've run into people all the time and they're like, man, God's asked me to do this. And I'm like, you didn't finish the last thing you did. Hello. We want to move on to bigger and better things. And God's like, can you tie your shoes so you don't run and trip? But I've got the shoes on. They make me run real fast. He's like, yeah, but you're going to fall because you won't tie your shoes. Tie your shoes. And then we take off running. We fall because we won't tie our shoes. All I'm saying is like, where you're at, what level of involvement do you have within the church that could be more? What level of involvement that you have within your job, within your family? Like, what needs to what adjustment has God been talking to you about? Because if you have even just a small little bit relationship with God, I know he's telling you something. Make an adjustment here. It doesn't matter what it is. It's different for everybody, right? My daughter says this all the time. God doesn't parent or father us all the same. He fathers us and parents us according to our relationship with him. Like, there are some things I can tell my daughters or one of my daughters that I can't tell my sons. And there are some things I can tell my sons, I better not tell my daughters. Right? That, if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. You're like, well, he can't handle that. He's just not built that way. Give me the wrench, boy. Right? And all I'm saying is this. According to what God's given you, what are the gifts and the talents that God's put on the inside of you that he's asked you to do that we're not doing or that we need to be doing? Am I making
you're
noise?
Touching it with your
mic. So what I'm saying is... Sorry. No, I can't handle it. There we go. All right. It was just running backwards. What was I saying? I started dancing. We have to understand that he's given us spiritual gifts, and it's our responsibility to grow and develop those gifts for the people that are around us that'll serve the church and serve his will, to serve his purpose. And if we're not willing to be obedient in those things, then guess what? He'll bring somebody else along that will do that and be obedient. And then we get all mad in our feelings because God won't use us. Hello. But we're not even obedient to the one thing that he asked us to do. What's the last thing he asked you to do? Have you done it? And if you've done it, what's the next thing you're supposed to be doing? And if you haven't done it, why have you not done it? You cannot do something else if you haven't done that thing that he's asked you to do first. And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be like, well, I've got to do this in the church. Not, it may not even have anything to do with the church. It might just have to do with your family. It might have to do with your job. It might have to do, I don't know, finances. I'm not going to give you the answer because I don't know that, but I do know that God's talking to you, has mentioned something to you, and you're like, well, you know, the Lord's working on me. No, I'm not saying I'm here to tell you, like, it's not him working on you. He's just waiting for you to be obedient. Just be obedient in whatever it is, right? Because we get real spiritual and be like, man, I have to say this because the Lord has told me this and I want to be obedient. But we can't do the last thing he told us to do. Like, we love being spirit-led and moving with the Spirit, except for when we have to work on ourselves and grow. Because growing what?
Hurts.
But grow anyway. Growing's uncomfortable, but grow anyway. We have to figure out what that is. And so my challenge to you, my thought process is like, look, whatever it is in your life that God's talking to you about, whatever he's telling you to adjust, can you just be obedient in it? Even if it means no more cheeseburgers, man. You know how hard it is to, I'm a cheeseburger guy. And I don't like, not a cheese on just a slice. I want two slices of cheese. Maybe three, you know, with a different type of cheese. And God's like, no, you need to stop that. Well, it wasn't God, it was a doctor, but you know. I think the Lord was working through him because, you know, we just.
Stop touching.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So my challenge to you is to ask yourself these questions. What are you supposed to be doing? What were you asked to do? Have you done it? And if you haven't, why not? Don't get caught doing business as usual, right? When you get caught, be caught being obedient to what God's asked us to do or asked you to do. In that is where we find the joy of the Lord, in our obedience, mm-hmm. Right?
Amen.
And when we can understand that and wrap our minds around that, then the more that we get to do that we really don't want to do, but we enjoy doing it,
mm-hmm.
Right? You know, it's never fun being a blessing until you see the results of being a blessing. Hello. Oh, I love being a blessing. Go bless your enemies. Tell me how much you love that. Bless those that curse you. I bet you bless everybody else except for them jokers. Lord's been working on me. I need to, you know, be nice to this person who hates me. Well, you know, the shoe fits. Make sure it fits on both feet. This help anybody this morning? Listen, man, my desire for you as a congregation, as believers and followers of Christ, is to get caught doing what God asked you to do. Don't get caught just doing business as usual. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, man. I appreciate you guys. Thank y'all for having me. I'm going to let my wife preach next time. When we come up, I'm going to have her go at it because she hates preaching. But anyway. She likes telling stories. She'll tell 15 stories and be like, "Amen." Man, Thank you guys so much. I love you guys. I hope this helps you more. I hope it challenges you. Amen.
Am I on? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, he was talking about his food. No red meat. So what do I order? Give me a steak and broccoli. I'm doing the keto stuff. Right now we're going to get ready to receive an offering, love offering for them. Want to sow generously into them and their ministry and stuff. They've been a blessing. He's always been a blessing to us. So if you got your checks, make them out to Westview Church, and then we'll just give them one check as well. So, ushers, you can come on up. Father God, we just thank you for this offering. We thank you for the gift that you have given us, Lucello and Mia, Lord, and we just thank you for everyone here who has opened up their hearts and their pocketbooks to sow into their lives, Lord. We just thank you, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, no. Mia, you have a word?
Mic check. It's not really a word. It's just something I wanted to share when he was talking about obedience. This is just something that came to me, and I feel like it might help some of you. Somebody was asking me today, you know, he was saying, what has God told you and what should you be doing and why haven't you done it yet? I would say that I don't know how many of you know, but I started a food truck and then I closed it down 9 months later. And then after that, I didn't know what to do. So I went back into the workforce, and God had been telling me for all of 2023 to go back to school to learn about grant writing, because churches don't realize that there's money out there for them and to help churches and organizations, that kind of thing. And when 2024, you know, everybody says new year, new me. And I said, well, I don't go to the gym, so I might as well work on my mental, you know, status and do what God's been telling me. Cause I listened to this message before, and every time he says it, it hurts even more when he says, what has God told you to do and why haven't you done it yet? So I started to look into going to school, for grant writing. And no sooner than I did that, I was like, okay, well, I need to quit some of my jobs, because if you don't know me, I'm just like a hustler. I go out and do all these small jobs. I hate that word, but that's what I do. It works for our schedules, because we do have a lot of grandkids and kids in the church, and it's just flexible for me to do more than one full-time job. And I said, well, let me start with letting some of those jobs go. So I put my 2 weeks notice in at my jewelry job, which was only 2 days a week. And then I work at a restaurant 3 days a week. The day that I put my 2 weeks notice in at the jewelry job was on Monday, and I had to be at work at the restaurant job the next day. When I got there, my boss said, oh, I hired somebody else. Forgot to tell you. I was like, Lord, what am I going to do for money now? And he said, well, first of all, you said you wanted to go back to school. I asked you to go back to school last year. You told me you would do it, and you didn't do it. So now you made moves on it, and then I make the moves, and then you get mad at me. And I was like, okay, well, all right. So I wanted to be depressed. I wanted to go home. I wanted to lay down. I wanted to not leave my bed, because that's the norm for me. I know that sounds kind of weird, but that is the norm for me. And I was like, well, I just want to retreat and not do anything and not, you know, press in. And God was, he's really funny, because I have a lot of friends that are they're introverts, and they have like bipolarism. They're up, and when they're up, and when they're down, they're down. And I'm always like trying to lift them up, you know, keep them up. And I'm very rarely there, but when I'm there, they just happen to call me. And my friend called me, and she's usually, you know, always battling some kind of depression or something. And this time she was like, hey, I cleaned up my tiny home and I'm getting ready and I'm doing this. And I was like, good for you. I don't want to hear your story. And she was like, what's wrong? And, you know, she talked me through it, and she was like, you know, you'll be okay. You're the one who usually lifts me up. You can make it through this. When did God tell you to do this anyway? I said, a year ago. Well, then it's about time you do it, Mia. And I was like, I don't need you barking at me too. I got God on my side and he's already telling me the same thing. So anyway, just saying that if God is telling you to do something and he's already told you to do it multiple times, you're going to go through the same thing over and over until you do it. That's just how it is. You have to pass the test. And you didn't, if you keep putting it to the side and putting it in the drawer and leaving it alone, it's going to keep rising back up in you because that is the relationship you have with God. And if you told him you were going to do something, he's going to remind you. He's not going to be ugly about it, but he's going to say, oh yeah, remember? Yeah. And when you're having coffee or tea time with him, whatever it is that you have with him, he's going to remind you when you're talking and chit chatting, he's going to be like, oh yeah, you love me so much that remember you did that for me. And oh, you didn't do that for me yet. Oh, but you're going to do it. So it's okay. That's how he does me. I don't know how he does you. But just saying all that to say that when you ask God for something and then he brings it, don't be mad because you asked for it, right? So that was it.
Amen. That's good work. Thank you. So the moral of the story is get out of your rut. Let's stand. We'll get y'all on the way. Hallelujah. Well, before you leave, give somebody a high five, shake the hand, Pentecostal handshake or whatever, so unto them. And God bless you. We'll see you next week, this Wednesday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.